What do you want to argue? Do you want to argue you're not so bad as somebody? You want to argue you're better than somebody else? What are you doing? We all come short of the glory of God. And we're all sinners. We need to be saved. We are alienated from God. We are enemies of God because we won't deal with our sin. Isaiah the prophet said a long time ago, verse 59, your sin has separated between you and your God, so he will not hear. His hand is not shortened that it can't save. His ear is not heavy that it can't hear. The problem is our sin, and we won't deal with our sin.
Is Hope for Today with David Hawking. You know, it's easy to turn faith into a debate, to measure ourselves against others, to defend our position or prove that we are not as bad as someone else. But the Bible calls us to a different kind of honesty, not comparison, but confession. Scripture reminds us that what separates us from God is not a lack of arguments, but a heart that will not deal with sin. From Colossians chapter 1, David Hawking continues his four-part study, What Makes Jesus So Special?, calling us away from self-justification and back to God, who alone can reconcile us to himself. We're back in Colossians chapter 1 in just a moment. First, Matt, we have a listener letter today that comes from Oklahoma, as it turns out. This is Jay, and I love this note. Go ahead and share some of that.
Yeah, it says, I'm writing to express my deep appreciation for your ministry and to enclose a donation. I've been a longtime listener and have found tremendous encouragement through your broadcasts. Every morning on my drive to work, I tune into your online radio stream, and it has become a cherished part of my daily routine. Though I am a member of a church here in Oklahoma, I must say that Pastor David Hawking is my favorite preacher. His teaching has consistently challenged and uplifted me in my walk with Christ. I pray that the Hope for Today ministry continues to thrive for many years to come. I love your slogan, the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible.
Amen.
And I'm grateful to be able to support this ministry in a small way. I love that. Thank you so much, Jay.
Well, and Jay, you've been listening for years. I've been listening to David for 30 years.
I've listened to him for 55 years.
Well, I produced the program, and Matt
and
is
David
David's
produced me.
Matt is David's youngest son. But, well, to God be the glory.
Amen, first and foremost.
The great things he has done. We are so thankful to Jay for your note. And folks, if you have a note for us, if you'd like to share something with us, a prayer request, do get in touch. Stay tuned. We'll tell you later how to do that. Now turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 29 for day 3 of David's message, What Makes Jesus So Special?
Haven't you asked the question what the purpose of your life's all about? It's for him. You see, in the first case, his preeminence will move us to worship him, but in the second case, his power will move us to believe him. Because his presence was there at the beginning. He did make it all. But secondly, his very purpose, it helps me to understand what my purpose is all about. Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. Revelation 4, verse 11. According to the Bible, all the universe, everything in it, angels, demons, the galaxies, human life, everything in it was designed for the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. First, his preeminence causes us to worship him, but his power will move us to believe him. And not simply his presence at the beginning and his purpose, but his very pre-existence is an issue. It says, before all things, Colossians 1, verse 17, he is before all things. And a lot of people say, well, that sounds redundant. I mean, if he created it, he obviously was there. So why repeat it and say he's before all things? And I think the grammar here is for you and me to understand something. There isn't anything happening in your life and mine that he didn't know about a long time ago. He was before all things. No matter what has happened in your life and mine, he knew all about it before it ever existed. His power moves me to believe him and to trust him and to not run away from it. By the way, there's one more thing. Not only his presence at the beginning when he made everything, and his purpose, which was for him, nor his pre-existence. Before anything happens, he knows it all, but also his providence. Look at what it says, verse 17. By him all things consist. It's just a simple Greek word, a compound meaning to hold together. What about all the mathematical orbiting systems of our galaxies? Who's running that? No, my friends, he is not a passive observer. He is actively involved in all the affairs of your life, whether you know it or not. It's amazing. By him, everything is held together. You know, sometimes I feel like falling apart. You know, I almost think I deserve it. You know, I just deserve to collapse. I just really do. You know, and sometimes you don't think you can take another step. And you know what is holding me together? Oh, all of the people who keep being pumped up for the Lord. All of the responsibilities I have at work. All of it. No. My blessed Lord Jesus holds me. People say, boy, I'd like to believe in the Lord. I sure hope I can hold on. And I say to people, let go. And they say, is there anyone else I can counsel with, you know, after hearing that? Look, friends, it isn't you holding on to God. He's holding on to you. And by the way, if I read my Bible correctly, he's not letting go. Though some of us wish he would let go of you because we think we know you better than he does. Lord, you don't want them. Listen, God is never going to let you go. Never. I given them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. God, let me tell you, he is in control. He is holding all things. Hebrews 1:3 says the same word, only a little differently. It says, upholding all things by the word of his power. He who said the word and there was light has no problem saying the word and getting your mess straightened out. Why doesn't he do this? Because he knows something you don't know and he's working it out. Well, I want to know what he doesn't want you to know. Why? So you'll trust him. Oh. It's like a vicious circle, isn't it? You just come back to it all the time. You know, like you're somehow going to come up with some big deal here that'll answer all the Christians' questions. No, we're going to go to glory, folks, still asking a lot of questions. But when we see him, it'll be worth it all. And then we'll know who was really sustaining us. Then we'll know who was really holding on to us. And underneath us, says Deuteronomy, are the everlasting arms. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Wow. Come back to Colossians 1. Let's talk about a third thing that makes Jesus so special. Not only his preeminence that moves us to worship him, not only his power that moves us to believe him, but third, his position moves me to honor him at all times. Verse 18 and 19 is interesting about the position of our Lord in our lives. It says, he is the head of the body, the church. I used to have that on a little sign in my pastor's office because it seemed to me that both pastors and people are guilty of assuming the pastor's the head. No, he's not. Thank the Lord. There are a lot of pastors not as good as yours. And there's a lot of pastors who need to have their heads examined. They think they're in charge. You're not in charge. Who is the head of the church? Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And I think this is a very serious problem. It says he's the head of the body, the church, who's the beginning. Here it is, the firstborn again. There's our word from verse 15. The one, the prototokos, who has all the priority and sovereignty. He's the firstborn from, literally out of, the dead ones. The point is never to return again. Were there people resurrected who died again? Yes. But there was one who was resurrected who will never die again, physically. And that guarantees our own resurrection. Then it says that in all things or circumstances, the word things is italics, but in everything, we would say, he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I have an old King James here, and the word Father, the Father, is in italics. If it's in your Bible, it should be, because it's not in the text. Doesn't mean it's wrong, But let me just read it to you as it is in the Greek. In the Greek, it says, all the fullness is the subject. All the fullness, whatever God is pleased to dwell in him. A little different impact. The point of it is preeminence. All his fullness, everything that he is, was pleased. Everything God is, was delighted to dwell in the physical body of Jesus Christ. Go over to chapter 2 and let me show you this one. In chapter 2, verse 9, Colossians 2, verse 9, says, for in him, we know who we're talking about, the last word of verse 8, Christ, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, or in bodily form. Now look at the next one. And ye, notice it's not singular, the. King James is the only one that can make that clear, by the way. Most modern English just say you, and you don't know whether it's one person or a plural. But the old King Jimmy has ye and thee, and you know whether it's singular or plural. Why is this important? Because there's not one single Christian that has all the fullness dwelling in him. Jesus Christ did, but you don't. But it says, ye, plural, are complete, filled in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. He says it again. You know, it's interesting. I know something about the Lord that you don't know. You know something I don't know. But together, we comprehend the wonderful love of God. It's an amazing thing. But all the fullness of God does dwell in the body, the church. All the characteristics that God wanted to reflect about himself and his love and long-suffering and patience and etc. is all seen in this group called the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying it's this local one, but it's certainly in the church, the body of Christ. Go back to Ephesians, please, and let me show you this. This is indeed hard to understand. Ephesians chapter 1, and look at verses 21 to 23. When the Father raised him from the dead, it says he set him at his own right hand, verse 20. Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. I like the words far above, not just above. It's so far away. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head, there it is again, over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all, meaning every person, in all, meaning every situation, everything. Isn't that interesting? What makes the church is Jesus. That's what makes a church. And the fullness of his life is in the body, the corporate body of believers. And that fills us all, or should, and it fills us in every situation. In other words, there's not a situation that we run into as a church, as a group of people who know the Lord. There's nothing, there's no circumstance in life that he can't handle, he's not a part of, that he can't run, he can't manage it. Therefore, I come to a conclusion that I'm going to make just real rapidly. I believe the number one responsibility of us all is to pray. That's what I believe. I also believe you should read your Bible. It helps you to know how to pray. But pray. It's the number one responsibility. Everything else is secondary. Let me put it to you another way. I doubt seriously that you can prove to me that Jesus is the head of your life without prayer. I don't see it. Your words, you can mouth it to everybody, but I'll tell you when it's real. When you get on your knees, there's nobody watching, and you're all alone. And what you say there, when no one else sees and no one else hears, what you are doing at that moment, pouring your heart out to God, tells me whether or not he's really the head. Now, he's ahead whether you like it or not, but recognizing it and honoring him by his position is so important in the Christian life. And that's what happens to many churches. We lose sight of that, so somebody takes the place of the Lord. Could be the pastor, a board, a Sunday school teacher, a WANA leader. Could be anybody. All of a sudden, they're more important now than the Lord. Prayer is our number one responsibility in recognizing the headship and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, to talk to God. There are really three things here about his position. First, you have his relationship to the church. I've already talked about he's head of the body. He's the CEO. He directs the whole thing. And you can only find out what to do by talking to him in prayer and reading his word. Number two, his resurrection from the dead is an issue. He's the firstborn from the dead, and that guarantees our own. But that resurrection in which God exalted him to his right hand puts his position at the right hand of the throne of God, and we are to honor him. And third, his revelation of God, because all fullness dwells in him. He actually reveals the total character of God Almighty. Everything about God, his righteousness, his faithfulness, his kindness, his long-suffering, his patience. All that God is, his power, the sweetness and kindness by which he draws us to himself. Everything is all in the Lord Jesus, and he's what it's all about. Now let's come to a fourth matter. Look, please, at verse 20 to 23 in Colossians. We said, first of all, his preeminence moves us to worship him. Secondly, his power moves us to believe him. Third, his position moves us to honor him. Now, number four, his peace moves us to confess him as our Lord and Savior. People need peace. They need peace with one another, and they need peace on this planet between nations and peoples. But let me tell you, the most important peace is you need peace with God. Peace with God. In this passage, we learn that God's enemies can become God's friends through the blood of the cross of Jesus. In Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, etc. Now, friends, God mentions the problem here about having peace. Alienated enemies in our mind by wicked works. A lot of people who think well of themselves that they haven't been too bad in their life and think they're, you know, not too bad, maybe even religious. A lot of people do not like to hear this, that you are alienated from God, you are an enemy of God. They don't want to hear that. Anybody who does not bow the knee to his son is an enemy of God Almighty. It's hard for us to understand. The whole issue of sin is a problem here. I think all of us, by human nature, want to believe that we're not quite as bad as someone else. That's why we like to listen to somebody's grossness. We want to hear somebody who's really bad because we kind of feel, well, I'm not that bad. And you understand? You know, I sin, but not like that, you know. Now, you and I both know how many lies it takes to make a liar. Just one. And what do we say? Well, it was a white lie. What's that got to do? Is there white and black ones? Well, you have to know why I did it, because why do I have to know that? If you lied, you lied. Isn't that true? How many sins does it take to make a sinner? Just one. My favorite illustration of sin, you know, God says if you all have sinned because they come short of the glory of God. It didn't say all have sinned because they're not as good as John is or as sinful as Mary. No, he said you come short of the glory of God. And I love this illustration. A world-class broad jumper, Olympic style, is standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon with his friend who's never been an athlete. And his little nerdish friend says to him, can you jump across there? He said, well, I don't know. I don't think so. It's pretty far over there. Well, let's both jump out. I can do it. You know, and they both jump off. Now, the interesting thing is on the way down, the Olympic guy, knowing he has jumped out quite a ways beyond him, is looking back and saying, I told you I could jump out further than you could, but they both fall short, right? And their end is certain. You know, what do you want to argue? Do you want to argue you're not so bad as somebody? You want to argue you're better than somebody else? What are you doing? We all come short of the glory of God. And we're all sinners. We need to be saved. We are alienated from God. We are enemies of God because we won't deal with our sin. Isaiah the prophet said a long time ago, verse 59, your sin has separated between you and your God, so he will not hear. His hand is not shortened that it can't save. His ear is not heavy that it can't hear. The problem is our sin, and we won't deal with our sin.
That's author and Bible teacher David Hocking, and this is Hope for Today. David has some additional teaching for us in just a moment. Stay tuned for that. First, though, Matt and I have a resource to tell you about that's going to open up the book of Psalms to you like never before. You got to hear about this.
Learning to praise in the Psalms is a dynamic journey through the Psalms with a special devotional for each day of 2026.
Yeah, get this devotional, and on January 1st, you'll have your devotional for the whole year.
Amen, amen.
And Matt, the Psalms have been the morning meditation of your dad, David Hocking, for over 40 years.
In them, he has found hope, joy, encouragement, worship, and insights into the nature and ways of the Almighty God, who alone is worthy of our praise and adoration. And Jim, with each day's devotion, my dad outlines a psalm passage, brings in cross-references, shares his thoughts along with applications, and highlights a special verse for meditation.
Yeah, and he ends each devotional with a special prayer to bring those lessons and encouragement, Amen. Instruction, and the hope of the passage to your heart.
Take a powerful trek through the Psalms with this personal daily devotional.
Now, learning to praise in the Psalms is just $20. And by the way, if you've already been blessed with a copy, get another for a friend whose faith will be enriched with this daily devotional by David for 2026.
Learning to praise in the Psalms is just $20.
And when you purchase, please consider adding an extra amount, a donation, to Hope for Today. Or perhaps make a donation by itself.
And please pray for Hope for Today.
Get your copy of Learning to Praise in the Psalms for just $20. You will have 365 devotionals, one for each day of 2026. And again, the price, Learning to Praise in the Psalms, just $20. Order by calling us at 800-75-BIBLE, that's in the U.S., or 888-75-BIBLE in Canada. And Bible by the numbers is 242-53. If you're hearing this after office hours, well, do call us next year or order online right now at davidhocking.org. That's David, HOCKING.org. And wow, it's the last day of 2025, but you still have the opportunity to make your tax-deductible year-end financial gift to Hope for Today. Your support makes it possible for this program to continue proclaiming the Word of God clearly, carefully, and without compromise, day after day, on radio and online, to people who need truth, stability, and hope in an increasingly confused world. The Word of God has the answers they need, doesn't it? It has the gospel that changes lives at the very heart for all of eternity. When you give, you're partnering with us as we look ahead to expanding this outreach in 2026 using every opportunity God provides to make His Word known. You can send your donation by mail to Hope for Today, Box 3927, Tustin, California, 92781. In Canada, write to Hope for Today, Box 15011, RPO 7 Oaks, Abbotsford, B.C., V2S8P1. You can also get by phone right now if you like at 800-75-BIBLE in the U.S. or 888-75-BIBLE in Canada. Bible is 24253. And of course, you can give securely online anytime, 24 hours a day, by clicking the donate button at davidhocking.org. And once again, here's David.
I'm sure that many of you listening to the broadcast right now know that I'm really enjoying it myself. Oh, I love preaching about Jesus. It reminds me of the Greeks who came to that feast, according to the Gospel of John, and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Many people have said, if you don't see Jesus, and not every page of the Bible is it where, you better go back and look at it again and ask for God's help. He's everywhere. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's our rock, our deliverer, our protector, our savior, our redeemer. He is the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." Colossians 1 clarifies by many statements like firstborn of all creation and before all things, and he made all things. He's to have the preeminence. It clarifies the true identity of Jesus Christ. He's not mere man. He is God who became man and dwelt among us. Many people in other religions think it's blasphemy But God became man and dwelt among us, and the Bible calls it the mystery of godliness, and that it is. As we've already learned in our series, he was in the form, the exact nature of God, and never thought it a thing to be paraded. But he emptied himself, he laid aside the exercise of those divine attributes and humbled himself and became obedient to the death of a cross. And now God has highly exalted him. Well, in Colossians 1 here, we learn about what makes him so really unique and special. And I hope that you will let the Lord speak to you and that you'll fall in love with the Lord again, that you will worship him who alone deserves it. May he be praised forever and ever. God bless you.
Well, thank you, David. And that's our time for today's broadcast and, frankly, our time for 2025. Next time on the program in the new year, on New Year's Day, David wraps up his message called What Makes Jesus So Special out of Colossians chapter 1. And by the way, if you missed any part of this program today or a recent broadcast, go to davidhawking.org and click on the radio tab. You'll find the latest programs waiting for you, but only for a limited time. Please tell a friend about this daily radio broadcast, and do be sure to join us for another powerful time in God's holy word right here on Hope for Today.